All right, guys. Hey, it's Coach Miyake here. First episode of season 3 of the Coach Growth Podcast. No guests today. It's just going to be me, you know, to kick things off. Sorry for the long sabbatical. You know, a short break turned into a long break, which turned into a whole year. Not something that I wanted, not something I anticipated, but I kept putting things off because I didn't want to do this sporadically, right? I wanted to take whatever break needed that I needed to take to where I felt like I could come back to this full time. Because I love podcasting. I absolutely love putting stuff out there. I love interviewing guests and putting their story out to you, the audience. But I didn't want to do that until I felt like I could do that full time, or, you know, some semblance of full time. So I waited and waited. My work situation has changed to where I'm more open for interviews, more open for more time to edit, things like that. So I'm really excited. I think it's going to be great. I'm really excited for not only just the episodes that I'm going to be putting out in the coming weeks, but just where this podcast is going to go from here. I just think that that's super great. I'm really excited, and I hope you guys are too. I hope that, you know, I put out stuff that is good, you know, that you guys get out of. So today, it's just going to be me. You know, I think it was my second episode I recorded. It was kind of my story. Why I'm doing this, who I am, yada yada. But that was before I had a microphone and I had the ability to edit anything. I was just using my iPad. I didn't even own a laptop, so I just was recording stuff on Anchor, straight on the app, no editing process, just recording it in little segments, clicking them together. It was horrible. I was embarrassed. I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't confident. So I don't know how long it was after I uploaded it. Not very long. Deleted it. So, you know, that's not there anymore. You can't find it. You're welcome. Yeah. So I'm going to re-record my story. I think that's where I want to kick off season 3 is, you know, who am I? Why am I podcasting? What made me get into podcasting? Who am I as a coach? That kind of thing. You know, I'm sure if you've listened for a while, you've heard my story here and there, little tidbits, but I'm just going to put it out there now. I think it's, you know, just something I've wanted to do for a while. I think that's a great point to kick off season 3. So with that being said, I'm going to kind of do the same format that I used to interview my guests, tell my story, how I got into coaching, why I got into coaching, what I'm doing now as a coach, and, you know, what's next for me, that kind of thing. And hopefully you get something out of it. Hopefully my story is something that you can take something from. If not, well, at least you know a little bit more about me and who the guy on the other side of the mic is, you know, the guy that people don't really come for, but the guy that you listen to anyway, you know, the guy that asks the question. So without further ado, let's kick it off. Let's talk about Andrew Miyake, and who he is. So I'm currently the head boys track coach at Macomb High School in Macomb, Illinois, kind of in the west central pocket of Illinois. It's a small school, you know, between 500-600 kids, somewhere around there. This is my 7th year as the head boys track coach. This is my 9th year coaching track. I'm also an assistant football coach. I'm the head JV coach, but I also coach the varsity offensive and defensive lines. And I am in my first full school year as the head of strength and conditioning. So that's kind of a new role that I've taken on the last year that I'm really excited about, which is why last year a lot of my guests and a lot of my upcoming guests are strength coaches, because that's kind of the endeavor that I'm taking on. And so that's where my interests are kind of are going right now. So that's why you're going to kind of see a trend in those guests. But if you're not a strength coach, you're still going to get stuff from those guests. I promise you, I've recorded 2 interviews today, actually, with strength coaches. And there's some great advice in there that applies to people that aren't strength coaches. So just because it's the sport that you don't coach, you know, if you're a track coach or a football coach or whatever, trust me, you're going to get great stuff out of them. So make sure you tune into every episode, because I promise, just because it might not be what you coach, there's still advice in there that applies to all coaches. So just remember that moving forward. I'm from a small town called Carthage. It's about 20-25 minutes away from Macomb. I was a 3-sport athlete in high school. Played football, wrestled, and I was on the track team. I was a thrower. In Carthage, small town, farming community, about 2,000 people, and sports was everything in Carthage growing up. Carthage is, I want to say, Carthage / Illini West, which is what my high school became, because we consolidated with 2 other towns. I want to say it's number 5 or 6 in the, like, all-time winningest programs in Illinois history. So a huge history there. My head coach, my freshman and sophomore year, his name was Jim Andrew, absolute legend in the football coaching realm in this area. He won 6 titles, 2 with Illini West, 4 with Carthage, with, you know, multiple runner-ups, multiple Final Four appearances, Elite Eight, etc. Just an absolute football powerhouse. Also incredibly successful at girls basketball. I believe they are also in the top 10 winningest programs of all time, if I'm not mistaken. And then obviously success, you know, in other sports, just because we had athletes. You know, Carthage just had great athletes all the time. And then Illini West, which started my seventh grade year, fall of 2007. It's the first year of that. That continued. So they've won state championships in football, boys track, girls track, and bass fishing. Not going to knock that one. You know, that is, it is a sport. It's an IHSA sanctioned sport, so it counts, which is really cool. So anyway, sports was a huge part of the community growing up. So, you know, when you're a little kid, everybody wanted to be a blue boy or a blue girl, which is what Carthage's mascot was. And then when they became Atlanta West, we became the Chargers. So got to high school, played football, wrestled, track, like I said. You know, football, my eighth grade year, they went 14-0, won state. My freshman year, the varsity went 12-1, losing in the semis in a close game to Stillman Valley, who went on to win the state championship a week later. And then the next year, as a sophomore, the varsity went 14-0, winning a state championship, actually going to the state championship and beating Stillman Valley, who had knocked us out the year before. So that was really cool. And getting to be on the sideline for those playoffs, and that was really exciting. And the one thing that experience instilled in me was, you know, I was never a great athlete, never super talented, and I'm not going to say that I was, but seeing those upperclassmen and how hard they work to achieve that, you know, that success, to achieve those goals they place, that they're the goals that they set, you know, set for themselves, really instilled in me a work ethic. You know, it was really inspiring for us underclassmen because we wanted to emulate that. We wanted that success, you know. And then being handed a state championship ring, you know, obviously is a very inspiring thing. You know, it makes you want to work hard because you're like, man, I want one that I earned, you know, as an upperclassman. So that is something, seeing their commitment to being in the weight room and off season and things like that, you know, it's really carried over to me as I became a varsity athlete. But as a coach, you know, starting out, coming to Macomb has never won a state championship in anything. So not saying that they haven't had success or things like that, but they've never won a state championship. I mean, they've had state champions in individual events, but as a team, there's no state championships. So that's something, you know, that I can tell these kids, like, hey, look, I got to witness that. This is what it takes. This is the kind of buy-in that you need, the kind of commitment that you need. And so that's something that served me well starting out. And also, I mean, it did help coming from a program like Carthage, which is obviously very well known. Carthage and Macomb played each other for years and competed in various sports. Kind of helped me get a lot of buy-in first, moving to Macomb. Like, no, I played at Carthage. Like, oh, you played at Carthage. So that helped. So anyway, that was my experience in Carthage. Graduated. Went to Western Illinois University, which is here in Macomb, which is how I ended up in Macomb. Had an academic scholarship, did very well in my ACT, so Western offered me a full ride. Came here, knew I wanted to coach. My senior year of wrestling, I messed up my right shoulder, which was my throwing shoulder. And I know injuries are kind of a cliche thing, but I really was hurt. Not that I would have been great regardless, but it did kind of rob me of my senior year of track. Going into the track season, it hurt to throw. It hurt to do anything with my right arm. So I kind of just went to practice to hang out. For me, sports was very social. I wanted to be good at sports, right? That's why there's a reason I never played basketball or play baseball, because I was terrible at those sports. So I try not to put myself in positions that I know I'm not going to succeed in. So I was kind of okay in wrestling in middle school, and I was kind of okay in track in middle school. So that's why I went over to those sports in high school. I loved track. It was co-ed, not going to lie. You know, let's keep it real here on the Coach Growth Podcast. Track was awesome. It was co-ed. There were girls at practice. It was fun. I didn't have a lot of friends that did track, but like I made a lot of friends with kids on the track team. So that was cool. So for me, sports, I did it because it was something to do. To put it plainly, I had a pretty crappy home life. Never wanted to be home. I was that kid that got to school super early, found reasons to stay after school, was very involved in my youth group. I tried to, you know, I did Boy Scouts and things like that because I just needed reasons to not be home because my home life was really bad. So for me, sports was an escape. Not only was it a chance to be around my friends, but it just kept me out of the house, right? I got to go to practice, or I got to go work out, I got a game, whatever. So that was kind of like, that was what, you know, really drew me into sports, was that aspect. But then I just, you know, fell in line. And then I did enjoy the sports. I fell in love. I loved playing football. I loved wrestling. I loved being track. I loved doing track. So that also kept me in it. So fast forward, senior year track, I can't really do much. I'm hurt. I'm just there because it's fun and I want to be a part of the team. So, you know, we had a head coach, John Artman, absolutely amazing coach. One of the best high school track coaches I've ever met. Incredible guy, super successful, super awesome at his job. And then he had an assistant my senior year. His name was Don Winters. He was also the coach my junior year and I believe my sophomore year. He was a pastor. Probably the guy that influenced me the most about who I am as a coach. Was very good at coaching. I mean, was a great throws coach. Knew a lot about the sport from a technical aspect. But he was just he was a funny guy. And he made practice fun. And he picked on you in a witty way, but not in a way that, like, you know, was demeaning or anything like that. But just a great guy to be around. And he made me want to be there. And he invested in me. And, I mean, it didn't pay out. I wasn't great. I was never a great thrower. But he made me believe like I could be. And he did put time into me, even if there wasn't a lot there. And was just an awesome guy. And I can't thank him enough. He's down in Florida now, preaching at a church and also coaching throws. So just fantastic guy. Can't say enough good things about him. So I would kind of come to practice and just listen and screw around, but just to be there. There was a sophomore named Blaze Murfin who, you know, had a lot of promise, was, you know, a very, very good up-and-coming discus thrower. So Coach Winters spent a lot of time with him. You know, when you're short-staffed and you have a lot of kids, you can only allot your time to so many. And so he spent a lot of time with a lot of time at practice with Blaze, you know, and it worked out, and not in a bad way. You know, Blaze went on to be a state champion, actually went on to be a D3 national champion at Dubuque, you know, so obviously he saw things that came to fruition. So that worked out well for him. So I had a lot of friends that had come out. We had a lot of kids that year, my senior year, who had never thrown before. So I just kind of took it upon myself to help them out, right? I'm like, yo, this, and I would work on them with their glide and their power position and drills and things like that. And a buddy of mine came out. He hadn't thrown since eighth grade and ended up, I want to say he won conference and shot. I could be mistaken. I want to say he won conference though that year. But either way, you know, he did very well at conference. And I was like, you know, I kind of had a little bit of part of that. Like I had helped him out. I every now and then when coach was in there, I'd watch him throw and I'd give him some advice. And, you know, I don't know how much of a part I played, but I'm like, I felt like I kind of had a piece of that. Like I was, you know, a percent of a percent responsible for that. So I thought, you know, like, this is a really cool feeling. And then like we would go to meets, you know, and other meets when like my friends would PR and stuff like that, I'd be like, you know, I'm going to take a little bit of credit of that. You know, if I don't deserve it, I'm going to take some of it because I was like, I had helped them and like just being on that side of things and just coaching, like I was like, this is really cool. Like this is what I like the way this makes me feel. I want to keep doing this. And you know, like I said, sports did a big part in keeping me on the right path and from making too many bad decisions. And my coaches were obviously a huge part of that. I had great football coaches that shaped me as a person. My wrestling coach, you know, was a huge influence on me. And like I said, my track coaches were. So that was something that I thought, you know, like this is something I could see myself doing for a very long time. So time to go to college. Western offers me a full ride. So I go there. I choose to major in PE because I wanted to coach. And obviously teaching is the easiest route to go into coaching or to get into coaching. So I was like, I don't really want to teach. I want to coach. But I was like, so I'll go the PE route. And so I did. Fall of 2013, I started as a PE major. Found out school was not for me. Did absolutely horrible. I got a job as a pizza delivery driver for Pizza Hut. And I was putting in like 50 hours a week delivering pizzas. Just because I was making money. And, you know, when I grew up really poor, so money was really cool. I had a girlfriend, so I wanted to spend money on her. And then when I wasn't working, I was trying to join a fraternity because kind of like that brotherhood and bonds and all those things that I made in high school sports, I was looking for a way to replicate that. So for me, that was a fraternity. So I'm doing fraternity things in my free time. And so school was just not a priority for me. Unfortunately, my biggest regret is dropping out of Western. So I went through the first semester, barely passed. I think I passed 2-3 classes. Got put on academic probation after that first semester. Went back for my second semester, made it like a month and a half, and just dropped out. I just stopped going. Something today that I'm still very ashamed of. You know, I know that happens and that everybody's path is different and things like that, but it's something that haunts me to this day. You know, here I am, 27 now. And that's just something that I've had to deal with for a long time. So, but the way I got into coaching was my intro to PE instructor. I was talking to him one day and I was like, yeah, I think I'd like to volunteer as a coach at the high school and kind of, you know, what does that look like? And for me, I was an okay football player, but to me, coaching football was just something that you just didn't do, like, willy-nilly, right? That was something that, like, you either had to be an amazing football player, or you had to coach in college, or you needed connections, because to me, like, football coaches were just at a step above everybody else for whatever reason. That was my thought. And I was like, well, I wasn't very good at track. I was like, and I was okay at wrestling. It was probably the sport on an individual level I was the best at. Not that that says a whole lot, but it's just what I felt. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to see if I can volunteer with the wrestling team. And I knew I obviously wrestled against Macomb. And so I knew that they'd had a really good wrestling program. So I was like, you know, like, that'll be something really cool to be a part of. My professor, Dr. Gobai, emailed the Macomb AD before winter break. Get back from winter break. Hadn't heard anything. The AD emails my professor back, like, I want to say middle of February. And he's like, hey, you know, I'm sorry, but not getting back to you sooner. We start regionals in a week, so there doesn't really make a lot of sense for us to take on a volunteer right now. And I was like, he told me that, and my immediate response was, well, they're going to be starting track soon. What about track? And so I met with the AD, talked to him. Went through the steps to get certified, which in Illinois is if you don't have a teaching license, you need to be ASUP certified. So that's what I did. I got certified. I volunteered at the high school with the throwers. They already had a throws coach, so I kind of helped him out. But it was really cool. It was a lot of fun. I mean, I was hooked. A couple weeks in, I was absolutely hooked. That summer, I had left Pizza Hut, started coaching football that fall. After I volunteered with the JV, and so I was actually working at a hog farm at the time, and that was awful. But it was a job. I needed a job. I wasn't going to school anymore, so I had bills to pay. So I was working at a hog farm, getting up at 3 in the morning, working till 3, leaving the farm and going straight to practice. Those poor kids, I smelled too high heavens, and they made sure I knew. But, you know, needed a job, so that's what I was doing. I was working at a hog farm. So I started coaching football. The head boys track coach at the time was the varsity offensive coordinator, so that's how that started. So I started coaching football that fall. And then the next season, that following season, I applied to be an assistant track coach, and they hired me on at the high school, or I'm sorry, with the junior high. So I was a junior high throws coach, and then the throws coach with the high schoolers who I'd worked under there before retired. So I just coached high school and junior high throwers. That's all I did. I just coached all the throwers, which was, I tried, and I did, I mean, like, I did the best I could with the amount of kids I had. I'm a young coach, you know, I'm 19 years old, don't know anything. I thought I knew everything about throwing, didn't know jack squat. That first year was just me regurgitating the things I had heard Coach Winters say when I was in high school, and just thought I knew a lot, didn't know anything. Second year, honestly, more of the same. And what really stunted my growth as a coach, there was a girl named Allison, who was incredibly talented. She was a state qualifier her sophomore year. And then her junior year was my first year as the full-time throws coach. And she broke both school records. And in my head, because I'm really good, this girl would have qualified for state and broken those records with nobody as a coach. I mean, she was 6 foot tall, incredibly athletic. She was a school record holder in the shot and the disc. She also high jumped. She was a state qualifying golfer, and also would run a 4x8 leg from time to time. So that just tells you how athletic she was. But me being a young guy coaching, it's because of me. And so I thought I knew everything, which, you know, really stunted my growth in the beginning of my coaching career. But second year goes around, you know, Allison had qualified for shot and disc, so I think I'm really great. The head boys track coach at the high school had stepped down, you know, had left. So I applied for that position. Didn't think I had a chance, but, I'm going to throw my name out there. And I actually got it. Emily Platt, the head girls coach, you know, one of the people that I'm closest to in this world. She was a huge advocate for me to get the job because she could tell that I was passionate and that I was going to be around for a while. And, you know, that's something that had been lacking, if you will. The coach before me, he was there for 2 years. The coach before me was only there for 1 year. So there was something that, you know, continuity had been lacking. So that was something that she felt that I could bring, and that's why I would make a good coach. And, you know, I was young and I cared and all those things. So I know she was a really big person that, you know, was in my corner for me to get the job. I became the head boys track coach, 20 years old, still working at the hog farm. And yeah, I didn't know anything. I thought I knew everything. I knew. I didn't realize how little I knew. So here I am. Season starts. where I have one, I don't have an assistant at this point. I'm trying to coach everybody inside. It's not going well. I bought like seven, eight books on, you know, coaching track and field successfully, track coaches survival guide, those kind of, you know, all those big textbooks about how to coach track. And I'm just pulling workouts from the book. I mean, I don't know what anything means. I don't know what it means. I'm acting like I do, and I'm trying to tell these kids that I do. This is a whole front. And I was a real imposter, and imposter syndrome really started setting after that first year. So first year as head coach, I got an assistant. His name was Matt. He coached the distance runners. I kind of coached everything else. I did the best I could. I didn't have a lot of kids. I didn't have a lot of good athletes. And I'm not going to say the athletes I made better. But, you know, it's a learning experience, right? I learned a lot. I learned that I didn't know anything and that I needed to learn a lot more. Allison, the girl before, she was a senior, getting qualified for state, rebroke and reset her own records and shot and disc. So I felt really confident in the throws. I knew everything I needed to know in throws. And so I was like, I'm just going to focus on everything else. So that, you know, I'm still coaching football at this point. I had coached junior high football the year before. I volunteered with the high school and I coached. I was an assistant coach at the eighth grade level. I was a defensive coordinator. And actually our offensive coordinator is our varsity head coach now. The seventh grade head football coach was stepping down from football. And he was like, hey, you should apply. You should be the head seventh grade coach. He's like, you know, you should take that position. I'm like, oh, sweet. Yeah. Okay. I will. So I had been told the job was mine. And it's, you know, it's a seventh grade coaching football position. It doesn't really matter, you know, mean much in the long run. But I was told the job was mine. And then they hired somebody else. And to quote Michael Jordan in The Last Dance, I took that personally. And, for, you know, I was like, well, if you guys don't want me to coach, then I'm leaving, blah, blah, blah. I don't know why. I was childish. So I actually moved out of Macomb that summer. Moved to Missouri. Stayed with my aunt. Got a construction job working for a general contractor. Did construction. And then I moved back to Macomb that end of January to coach my second season as, you know, head coach. So second season rolls around. I'm more confident as a coach. I had done a lot of reading and learning that off season, so I felt more prepared, which was really good. You know, I was a better coach than the year before. The one thing that I can kind of hang my hat on that first year is kids had fun. And I know that because they all came back and they got their friends to come out. So our team almost doubled. I think because I, you know, that first year, my numbers, I want to say maybe 15 kids. And then the next year were upper 20s, which was really cool. You know, it was exciting. We had okay year, more successful, which, you know, part of it just came from more numbers. But we, you know, had more success, which made me feel good. It made the program, you know, look better, if you will. So that was cool. And as that season came to an end, I knew I had to step my game up even more because the eighth grade boys that were going to be freshmen the next year were very good. They were sectional champs. I want to say placed third as a team at state, and they were really good. And their parents were very involved. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying their parents were very involved, and, you know, their parents expected their success to continue on when they got to high school. So I knew I had my work cut out for me and that I had a lot to do and a lot to learn so that I could be a good coach for them. So that season ends, and I spent that summer trying to learn as much as I could. That's kind of when my love for camps and clinics like really developed, because I absolutely love going to clinics. And so that started. So I learned as much as I could. That fall, I did get hired on as the head seventh grade football coach. And let me tell you, I've coached high school, and I've had some really cool moments coaching high school. But that year, coaching junior high football was just probably some of the best, funnest moments of coaching I've ever had in track or football. You know, really talented kids, they're juniors now. We ended up going undefeated, which is, you know, junior high football doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot, but we go undefeated. We had some really big wins. We beat Quincy, which most of you probably don't know, but Quincy is kind of like the big town in the area. And we usually lose to Quincy in junior high football, but we beat them in a huge win, and that was really exciting. So like that year was a lot of fun. And then so I got to coach those guys for junior high football, and that was a great experience. Come down to track. And this was like, this was an awesome year for me as a coach, because things were starting to click. So those freshmen and the class above them, the guys that were freshmen before that had all come out, we were competitive in the sense that, like, in our small meets locally, not so much as like a team, really. You know, I don't think we won. I don't know if we won a meet that year, but we were very competitive, and coaches were noticing, you know. And I had a couple coaches, Brad Dixon, for example. We won the 4x4 at conference, and it was all freshmen. And, you know, he came up to me and he's like, "Hey, man, that 4x4 looked good." And I just remember, like, thank you, and, you know, like, feeling like this, like, huge sense of pride. I'm like, yeah, like, we are good, and we're going to be good. And so that was really exciting, because, I mean, we had some really good times and marks for underclassmen, and I knew, like, we could build on that we're going to be good. And so what did that do? That inspired me and drove me to learn more and be better, so that the next year we could grow, you know. And the following year, I got back on the high school staff. We had a new head coach, and he was the one that appointed me as the junior high football coach. And then he saw, you know, that I had done a good job down there at that level, so he asked me to come up to the high school. So that was really cool. So I coached football. I was the line coach for the varsity again. And then that's when that was my first year as the head JV coach. Football was rough. We didn't have a lot of success, but it was still, you know, it was fun coaching football again. So that was, it was nice to be back at the high school level for that. Track rolls around year three. Awesome year. I mean, great year, great stuff happened. Those freshmen, that really talented class that were really good eighth graders, you know, they're sophomores now, and we were really we were hitting our stride. We won some invites. We won our Lee Calhoun meet, which is Macomb's, like, big invitational that we have every year. We won that, which was awesome. I had a 4x4 qualify for state, which I hadn't had any boys qualify at that point before. I had had girl throwers qualify, but I hadn't had any boys qualify yet. So I had a 4x4, and I had a guy, discus thrower, who he was a sophomore, threw 157.2, which I think was the second farthest throw of a sophomore in Illinois that year, if I remember correctly. And then we had a 4x4 go, which was three sophomores and a junior. So we actually ran the fastest time that year at state of a team that didn't have a senior on it. So huge, huge year. We're very excited. Everybody's really pumped. You know, next year is going to be like our big coming out year. And, you know, we're feeling really good about it. We're feeling really good about where we're at. Our off season, workouts, we had really good attendance, which was something that was non-existent before then. So here is a coach, my excitement's building there. The program excitement's building it. Like, this is just huge for us. And, like, this, you know, next year is going to be our year. And, you know, every summer workout, kids are coming to me like, "Okay, coach, if so-and-so scores at this, like, maybe we can qualify for state in this, and we can qualify for state in this," and yada, yada, yada. And I'm really pumped. And, you know, this year was like our big, big year. So all my chips were on the table for this coming season. And this coming season rolls around. That super talented class of junior, you know, they're juniors now. And I've got some seniors that were key contributors the year before who, you know, they're now another year older and stronger and faster and more proficient. I know more as a coach now. Things, you know, were awesome. I have a really awesome assistant coach who was actually, he was the head junior high coach, boys junior high coach with those eighth graders when they came in. And then their sophomore year, he came on as my assistant. So that was really exciting. So, like, we had a really good relationship. Everything was going great. Our first indoor meet, you know, we did very well. We looked really good, considering we'd only practiced, I think, a week or two at that point. I had some freshmen that looked really good. So I was on cloud nine that year. And I was like, this is it, man. Like, this is the year that, like, Macomb boys track gets put on the map. And then COVID knocked on the door and said, "Nope, just kidding." And, you know, we lost that season just like everybody else did. And, oh my gosh, every day I'm checking my phone, talking to my AD, like, when can we practice? When can we do this? When can we do that? And it was a huge, huge disappointment for me. And, you know, I was genuinely depressed. And, you know, and someone who's had mental health issues and, you know, problems of the past, I don't throw that term around lightly, but I was very depressed when we lost that season. You know, and a lot of people, you know, went through depression with COVID and being stuck inside. But I was hurting because in my head, I'm like, I will never have a team as good as the team I was going to have this year. This was my year to validate myself as a coach and to have all the success that I felt like I deserved and had earned and all this yada, yada, yada. And it broke me. It really did. I was very, very down about it for a long time. And then one day I'm walking, you know, because what else were you going to do? when you couldn't do it, you know, you couldn't do anything else. Everything was shut down. So I was going for walks, listening to podcasts. And one day I was on the phone with my best friend, and I was just like, you know what? Why not? Like, why can't we be good next year? If we have a next year, why can't we be good? Why does this team have to be the best team I've ever had? Yes, because the talent level is probably, you know, is something that doesn't come around very often. And across the board, sprinters, jumpers, throwers, and distance runners. I mean, we were a very well-rounded team. But I just asked, like, why? Like, why do we have to, why does this year have to be the best year that I was ever going to have as a coach? That seems silly. What can I do to replicate this perceived success the year after that? And the year after that, like, I'm trying to build a program. Like, I'm not trying to have a good season. I'm trying to have a good program. And I was just like, this is, you know, it just felt so silly. And like, I'd done a disservice to those teams that were going to come after them already. And I haven't even coached them yet. And I'd already given up on them. And I just thought, like, how silly of me. So that really reignited my passion for learning and just trying to be the best coach I can be. So, you know, I started, you know, Zoom calls, were huge during the pandemic. So I started hopping on those. I got my level 2 throws certification because I had finally admitted to myself that I wasn't a great throws coach and that I had a lot to learn. So I got my USATF level 2 throws certification. I started reading, actually reading books on training and periodization and field events and becoming better. And, you know, not that those things make you a good coach, but I was actually doing legitimate due diligence on trying to educate myself on how to be a better track coach. And, you know, I'd always said, because I'd go to a clinic and I'm like, yeah, I'm really smart. You know, I don't know. I don't know why I had these, like, this air about me that I was so smart and all-knowing when I was 25 years old and didn't know jack squat. So I actually took the time to read and to educate myself on track and field, and to, because I'm like, I owe it to these kids to be the best track coach I can be, and not just say that I'm a good track coach, like actually be a good track coach. So that's what I started that process, you know. So I started asking coaches questions and trying to learn from them, and I thought, you know, I bet other coaches have these same questions, and I bet they could take something from this. So I was like, why not record it? And selfishly, you know, I always wanted to be a guest on a podcast, and, you know, I don't know why, why I thought I had to share that was so valuable. Then I thought, well, you know, I don't really have anything that's super valuable to share, so I'm going to give people that do have value to share a platform to do so. And not that there's other, you know, not that there's not other coaching podcasts out there, because there's plenty of them. But I just thought, you know, this is something, like, why not? You know, I got time, and so everybody else has a lot of time right now, so that's what I did. So, you know, my first, I just thought, I'll do this. I'm going to make a podcast about growing as a coach, because that's what I'm trying to do right now. And so that's how the Coach Growth Podcast was born, was just out of the idea of, I want to grow as much as I can as a coach. I'm going to invite other people to go on this journey with me. So I reached out to Mike Cunningham, my first guest. Mike has a podcast, the Gill Athletics Connection Podcast, where he interviews track coaches and gives them a chance to share their story. I was a huge fan of Mike and his podcasts, and I knew it was a format that I wanted. And so, because I knew I wanted to touch on X's and O's, right? I wanted to talk shop with coaches, like strength coaches and track coaches and football coaches, etc. But I also knew that there was a lot of things outside the X's and O's that I needed to learn, and that's the kind of stuff that I wanted to talk about. You know, like, I had Tony Holler on, and yeah, we talked Feed the Cats and like what that philosophy is, but like, we also talked about his early days as a coach and things like that, the things that he doesn't, you know, always get to talk about. And so, yes, I do want to talk about the technical stuff, but I thought, you know, this is a good chance for coaches just to tell their story, right? Not so much like, oh, what's your programming like, but like, why are you even coaching in the first place? And I think that that's something, I think there's a lot of value in that. I think that coaches understand their value. Some don't, you know, some coaches don't see their own value, even though it's there. But I wanted to give coaches a chance and a platform to share those things. So that's how that started. And I just reached out to coaches that I liked and admired and wanted to talk to. Coaches that had inspired me, like Chad Gunnelson, head, you know, track coach at University of Dubuque. Things, you know, guys like that, you know, who are the guys that, like, I want to learn from? And this is my chance to reach out to them. You know, because like so many coaches just get bombarded with DMs and questions. And here, you know, I am asking questions and seeking knowledge, but what am I giving back to them? So this podcast is that. It's my opportunity to give back. It's a, hey, I'm going to ask you some questions, but while you're at it, let me tell your story. Let me give you a venue to tell your story, to put your story out there. Because, I mean, one, who doesn't like to talk about themselves? I mean, some people don't. I love to talk about myself selfishly. But what can we do? Like, what can I give you? I'm going to give you a platform. And so tell your story out there. Plug whatever you want to plug, that kind of thing. And in return, I'm going to, like, you know, I'm going to ask for some questions. I'm going to get some advice out of you. And it's been absolutely incredible so far. I can't thank my guests enough that have been on and given me their time. You know, I haven't paid any of them. None of them have asked me for anything in return. I've had the opportunity to be a guest on two podcasts, which was really great and really fun. So that was awesome. And, you know, this, I've made some really great connections through this podcast that I probably wouldn't have made beforehand. You know, in the COVID year, I'm not going to say I'm glad that it happened, because I would have loved to have had that track season. And at the end of the day, that the fact that those kids were robbed of a sport, you know, it sucks. And I feel bad that they lost that, you know, that those senior athletes didn't get a senior season. That, you know, that hurts. Like, and that's that, I feel terrible about that. However, I can say without a doubt, I am a better coach today because of COVID and the pandemic than I would have been without it. Because if I hadn't, one, this podcast wouldn't have been a thing without COVID, I can promise you that. But two, just the amount of time it allowed me to learn, and the fact that I actually took that time to learn, was huge. And I've already seen huge success, and I am a better coach today than I would have been without it. And I can say that without a shadow of a doubt. So that's been a lot of fun. That's really, you know, exciting for me to see in myself, that I like that growth. You know, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm going to practice what I preach. You know, I try to talk about on the show about growth, so I'm growing myself. So post pandemic, if you will, you know, we had a season last spring. We made the most out of it. And, you know, I put a lot less pressure on myself to be successful. Not that winning isn't important to me, because it is. I mean, I want to be a good track coach, and I want my kids to be good at what they're doing. I don't want to portray that that's not important to me anymore, because it absolutely is. But I know what I need to do to help them be successful, like actually know what it takes to help make kids successful. And I'm going to do those things. And I'm going to make sure that we have fun in the process, because nothing's guaranteed. You know, COVID taught us that, you know, you could lose a season at the blink of an eye. So, you know, that's something that's really my philosophy has shifted towards. And so it's, you know, last year was a good year. You know, I had one state qualifier, which, you know, was awesome. So I got to go back to the state meet, and I was a better coach last year than I had ever been, even if we didn't have the success as a team that we had had, you know, the year before. But that's okay. I was a better coach, and that's, you know, that's all that I can ask of myself, is just to be a better coach than I was before. You know, we're starting now year 9, and it's really exciting. You know, I've got 42 kids out this year, which is the most I've ever had. A lot of them are first year track kids. You know, it's going to test me as a coach, and I'm going to have to, you know, really find out what I'm made of, right? Like, can I develop athletes? You know, that's the big question. Can I make them better, you know, athletes? There isn't this just huge pool of talent for me to choose from this year. It's like, hey, you know, this is where we're starting out, and how are we going to get better? And so that's really exciting and challenging. And I am embracing those challenges more than I would have in the past, right? I'm not, you know, in the past, I would have just, I don't know, well, they're not good and it's not my fault because I'm a good track coach. In the past, you know, that would have been my thought process more likely than not, you know, whereas now, okay, I'm a good track coach. You're an okay athlete. Let's meet in the middle. You know, like, what can I do? What can I do to make you better? And I'm really excited for that. You know, I'm really excited for having so many kids out and things like that. I'm excited for a semblance of a normal season again. I think that's going to be really cool. I'm just really looking forward after this last, you know, 2 years of no semblance of a normal track season. I mean, last year was short season. We had meets and, you know, we practiced, but everything was just different. You know, it felt different. And this year I can, you know, it really feels like things are back on track to be normal again. And I'm really excited. Looking forward to continuing this podcast and getting this back on track. You know, when I said my work situation had changed for 5 years. So I mentioned that I worked at a hog farm, and then I did construction. When I came back my second year as head coach, I actually didn't have a job. I just lived off my track stipend, which isn't enough, but it paid my bills. And then I scraped by those other months. At the end of that season, I got a job at a restaurant, at a bar and grill, working in the kitchen. And then I eventually just, you know, worked up, became kitchen manager. So I did that for 4 or 5 years. My side job, the job that paid my bills, because, you know, I don't know what coaches will make where you're at, but here it's not enough to live off of, you know, which is usually the case. It's a, you know, it's a side job. So I would go to practice at night, or I go to practice till 5:30, 6 o'clock. And then at night I'd go and, you know, work in the kitchen and cook till 10, 11, midnight some nights. So that's what I did. That's why podcasting was tough, just because most coaches that I talk to are teachers. And so their evenings are when they're available. And that's when I was working in the restaurant. So this past fall, I left that position. I worked there part-time, but it's kind of as a fill-in guy for some side cash every now and then. But I got a job as a para working at the school. That's been huge for me as a coach, just, you know, being in the building with kids. It's reignited my passion and my drive that I need to go back and get my teaching license. Because, you know, being paras are great, but it's, you know, it's really, I don't consider it to be a sustainable profession. You know, it is part-time. You know, I work 29 hours a week, so it definitely has reignited my passion. I need to go back to school and I need to get a teaching license or a degree of some sort. Then I can do this full time and be in a position where I'm more financially stable. You know, I've got a girlfriend and, you know, she's finishing up her master's program. And so, you know, we're talking about what next steps in our lives look like. And I need to be able to be in a position to provide for us and to her. So, like, those are, you know, things that I'm thinking about. And so, hopefully the next step for me is to get back into some sort of education, whatever that looks like. So that's, like, for me as a coach, you know, I always ask, like, what's next? It's the Coach Growth Podcast. What am I going to do to grow? For me, it's figuring out school. I need to go back and get it. I need to get a degree, guys. I got to do it. And you as an audience, you know, I'm putting this out there. You got to hold me accountable. So we'll see what that looks like moving forward. I'm trying to figure that out now as this track season goes on. So that's hopefully what's next for me, is getting my butt back into a classroom and getting some college credits earned, guys, you know, so I can get a teaching license or some, you know, sort of a career that also allows me to continue my coaching path. Because I don't ever want to give coaching up. I've always worked jobs that have allowed me to continue to coach, and I'm going to keep doing that as long as I can, because I don't want to give this up. I'm so invested and I love what I do, and I just don't ever see myself stopping it, even to take a break, just to maybe set myself up for more success in the end. I don't know. It's just the way I'm wired. I don't want to quit, and because I love it and this is my passion. I'm going to end it there, guys. Been talking about myself for almost 45 minutes now, so I think that's enough ranting and rambling about me and my story. I'm blessed to be in the positions that I'm in. I'm blessed to still be coaching track, you know, starting season 7 as a head coach, and I'm only 27. I'm blessed to be a part of a varsity program where the head coach actually values my opinion. I have an AD who really wants me around and sees my value, which is incredible. You know, he gave me the position of head strength and conditioning, which wasn't a position in the past. You know, I'm kind of the first non-grad, you know, we had kind of given that role to a grad student for 4 years if you count COVID. We'd had 3 different grad students that kind of, you know, did that as an internship, but I'm the first person that has, like, that title as a non, you know, that, like, hey, we want you to start strength, like, build up our strength and conditioning because we think you're the right guy for the job, and we want you to have this job not only this year but for the foreseeable future. And so, like, that kind of confidence has been huge for me as a coach, that they see that, you know, that I can bring that value to their school. And it's been great. I absolutely love it. I love working out. Like, lifting is something that's always been a huge passion of mine. You know, strength and conditioning, athletic performance. I had always, like, had an interest in it, you know, and I would always, like, listen to guys talk about lifting and things like that, you know, when I was a young coach. But, you know, diving down that rabbit hole and learning about athletic performance and, like, what that really is and what that looks like has been so much fun. And I thought I had a passion about strength and conditioning, but I had no idea. And that is something that side of training, you know, the weight room, you know, not only on the weight room, on the track, plyometrics, like, it really does mirror very well with track and field. So just that kind of thing, it's been huge for me, and I absolutely love it. And I love strength and conditioning. I love talking strength and conditioning, and I love, you know, but I still love track and field, and I love football, you know, so I'm glad that I get to wear multiple hats and coach multiple things. I absolutely love what I do, guys, and I'm blessed to have been doing it for as long as I have. you know, 9 years of coaching isn't a super long time, but it's longer than most 27-year-olds have been doing it. So I'm blessed to be where I'm at. I'm blessed to be still, you know, with the school I started at, and that they've seen my value all these years, and they keep bringing me back. And I, you know, as far as I know, they don't plan on getting rid of me. Who knows? But I'm going to end it there, guys. My Twitter is, for those of you that don't know, is at Coach McGachy, McGHGHY. My email is coachmcgachy@outlook.com. My phone number is 319-850-7296. Reach out to me anytime you want, man. Questions, concerns, you know, whatever you want, reach out. I love talking to coaches, right? That's one of the reasons why I love doing this, because coaches are my favorite people. I love talking to them. I mean, I love my girlfriend and I love my cat. You know, coaches are, you know, probably, you know, they're number three and who I love to talk to the most, right? So I look forward to it. I hope, you know, that you guys enjoy season three. I hope you get value out of the guests that I bring on. I know that they have value to give, so I just hope that you can find it. I hope you're receptive to it, I should say. So I'm looking forward to that. And with all that being said, I'm going to sign off, and I will talk to you guys later. Thanks for listening to me and my story, guys.